If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
All together now, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller with a croaky throat, but Manchester City won the derby. Newcastle and Cardiff both won again, and Charlie Austin wasn't happy.
The lounge singer that is Marcus Speller.
When you really get going with your voice, you sound a little bit like Charlie Austin.
If you've downloaded this show to listen
in the world
in daylight hours, immediately stop, put it back on tonight, get in the bath, put the candles, light some candles.
Get some jazz on.
Marcus Speller is the late night sultry sounds of Marcus Speller, who when he laughs now sounds a bit like Muttley as well.
Yeah.
So it's an easy win.
There's the odd squeak in there as well. So it's like you're a sultry lounge singer / radio presenter who's also just hitting puberty.
Yeah.
Say,
this guy's in love with you, ladies and gentlemen.
Say welcome to the Football Ramble Nights.
Welcome to the Football Ramble Nights, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. Nights.
I sort of think that I hope my voice stays here.
Yeah, yeah, I do too.
It'd be a shame if I returned back to that rubbish I had before.
You finally found your voice.
I think your last voice was rubbish.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure we're all very excited by this. So let's get on with the show, shall we? Manchester United were terribly unlucky against Manchester City. I'd like to start just by saying Sergio Aguero's hair.
Yeah. Mm. Despite myself, I quite like it.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
I think he's done well.
But he's a man of advancing years who's bleaching his hair. And you don't have that with me. I would not have that with my silver.
Yeah, but he's
blue rinse,
Sergio Aguero, though, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good point, isn't it?
When you say advancing in years, he's still a young man. He's still a very handsome man. Because when Messi did it as well, I thought he got away with it as
well.
Hang
on a minute. Has anyone else just realised, and I'm speaking to you, Jim, and you, Marcus, here, it's stunning when you think about it, how little Peter's dyed his hair.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Have you ever dyed it?
Yeah, well, that's something. I used to bleach it when I was like,
In One-Eyed Willie,
I bleached it and coloured it. Pillar Box Red was my particular colour.
Well, how come you haven't done it into adulthood?
Because there are things preventing me from being the man that I want to be, and it's a little bit your hand. I'll have to live
with it. Is it really me?
It's a little bit your hand.
I thought you were going to say in terms of your release and all
you
that.
You don't want the peer pressure and the naysaying.
I actually quite like the smell of ammonia off bleached hair.
Right.
That's why I quite like that salted ammonia or licorice you get in Sweden.
Right. So if anyone here dyes their hair, next time you have your hair cut, pop it in an envelope.
Send it to Pete.
Send it to Pete.
Yeah, so I can sniff it.
Just type it, just literally write on the envelope, free post of Ramble. It'll get
I think people should email in and say which colour they would like Pete to dye his hair.
Yeah.
If Jose,
with enough encouragement, I think.
If Jose Mourinho listened to the show, which he doesn't, but if he did, would he be very happy that we spent a good few minutes talking about Sergio Aguero's hair rather than the performance of his team?
Well, Marcus's voice is as deep as their defending.
Hey, yeah, very good.
And it's creaky.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. I mean, a little stat for you. First time in top flight history that three sides are unbeaten after 12 matches. Of course, amazing. Manchester City are at the top of that. They were helped, though, by just having two friendly matches before this one. When Mourinho said that about Man City's friendly matches, for a second I thought, oh, do they have a couple of behind closed doors friendlies? No, yeah. I was quite, and then I thought, oh no, he's talking about Southampton and an actual Champions League game.
Yeah. He did sort of go on to say that they did have three away games in 8 days, and I do agree with that, but...
Well, it's a fact, or it isn't. Well, it's nothing to agree with. It either happened or it didn't.
Yeah, I know, but like, is this an away game, really?
I mean,
they make every match in Manchester an away game anyway because they can't get their bus to the fucking stadium.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
that's a fair point.
Did they have a better time getting to Man City Stadium than they did their own?
Probably.
It appears that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, but by your rationale there, Peter, saying that if you're within the same city, is it an away game? I think you'll find that it was an away game for River Plate.
Yeah. I mean, like, what really... I suppose it doesn't surprise me, and that in itself is the talking point, is how quickly we've got used to Man City and Man United statuses having utterly, utterly reversed. Because it always looked like City were going to win that. Yeah. From the off, it just seemed like this is fairly routine. Of course, City looked like the slicker, better team. And it's not just the result. It's the City with a team with a swagger. Mm. City with a team where, of course, they're winning it. And that I mean, you know, this is a fairly recent thing, but they've dominated utterly in the last few years.
Man City were in League One in recent memory, though. Yeah. You can't really sort of say that they've completely switched sides. You know, Manchester City's still a very
but
the evidence on the pitch.
Manchester City are by far the best club side in the country.
Yes. Yes. And obviously, it's worth pointing out that Man United won this fixture last season. But it's just it's the
manner of the defeat.
Absolutely, it's the manner of it, isn't it? And it's the manner of which City and United held themselves. You know, Mourinho was making excuses, but they just seem pretty silly. Guardiola is having a go at Raheem Sterling for doing stepovers because, you know, coasting at home over Man United isn't a big deal.
If I was Raheem Sterling, do you know what I'd have said back? I'd have said, well, hang on a minute. In the Champions League, I did a stepover and I won a penalty. But you weren't even in the area that doesn't matter. Yeah. I could get a penalty for anything.
It's a derby, and have you seen how disrespectful Jose Mourinho is when he wins a football match?
Yeah, and Jose Mourinho doesn't make excuses. The only way Jose Mourinho makes an excuse is just after he said he doesn't want to make an excuse.
Yeah.
And that's how you know he is making an excuse.
An excuse is coming. It's like the excuse timetable.
Yeah.
What about that Gundogan goal?
Lovely.
Oh, I mean, that was... Even when the ball came in, watching it back, I thought to myself, he does actually cross the ball. Like, the final pass is a cross, which lands on his foot 6 yards out. He has time to take a touch and slot past David. I mean,
it was a perfect touch as well, by the way.
It was.
It was an absolute gut punch as well, because obviously like Manchester City started the game so well, and they always do, before the goal that was scored. 96 passes to Manchester United's 5 in the first 12 minutes, which is insane. 93% possession, something like that.
That's mad.
Because Man City take games, don't they? And Man City take games, but Manchester United, they kind of have to rescue games, don't they? Mm. They did it against Newcastle a few weeks ago and stuff. And,
that's right.
And Man United were in the position where you thought if any team was going to score, it was going to be Man United, but then Gündoğan's goal, my God.
and also, I don't think we should underestimate or understate how good that touch was. Mm. To be that close to the goal and have the ball fizzed into it at that sort of pace, to kill it dead and then finish against, I know he's not been in the best form of his career, but certainly one of the best goalkeepers around in a big game. It's amazing. Yeah. That was a decisive goal.
It's like the closest you'll get to catching a ball with your foot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it is ridiculous that there was 44 passes leading up to that. I mean, that will do Mourinho's head in. And it's interesting.
He doesn't care about stats, does he?
Well, perhaps. But he took a different tact. Normally, he slags off the players. And he said, yes, we made mistakes. But he actually didn't do that for a change, which is quite interesting. Could see a change of approach from him in the post-match and all the rest of it. But the fact that Gündoğan took that ball down, had so much time, it was embarrassing for Manchester United.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they
just looked absolutely second best all over the pitch.
Listen, and Man United started very slowly again.
Yes.
They keep starting slowly.
And
I understand this is Man City, but still.
They need to compete. I mean, that's what's, regardless of how easy that is or not, that's what Manchester United under Jose Mourinho are tasked with. Yeah. They've not spent a Spurs amount of money. They've spent a decent amount of money, slightly less than Manchester City or whatever, but fine. They've still spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
And if you're judging Mourinho's Man United in this stage of his tenure there, which I think we should be because he's been there a while, they're miles off. They're miles away. They look like a good top half team. Mm-hmm. And that's really how they started the season.
Do you agree, Jim?
I was going to say, what's really telling is when Mourinho and Guardiola took over at Man City, that was the narrative, wasn't it? It was Pep versus Jose. Mm. And we were all really looking forward to that and looking forward to how that would kick off. But Guardiola has won it so convincingly, you don't even really think of it now.
No, it's not the same.
And also, you can judge the manager, I think, in this situation on three things. One is the results. Now, okay, he's picked up the Europa League and he's finished second in the league and fine. So you can give him a sort of pass on that, I'd say, because Man City are so much better. But the other thing is, has he improved the players that were already there when he turned up? And has he got the most out of the signings he's made? If you look at the signings that Manchester United have made since Mourinho's been there, and we have to believe that given the lack of sporting director at the club, that Mourinho is at least involved in those signings. We have to, because what went on last summer about him identifying these centre-backs and not getting them, etc. Mourinho's having a say in these signings. Mm-hmm. And the players that have come in, Bailly, Zlatan, Mkhitaryan, Pogba, Lindelof, Lukaku, Matic, Sanchez, Dalot, Fred and Lee Grant, the goalkeeper. Well, Bailly, he doesn't seem to like him. He doesn't play consistently. Zlatan's obviously gone. Mkhitaryan's gone. Pogba, we all know about the problems that Pogba's had under Mourinho. Lindelof sometimes doesn't look ready. Lukaku's a streaky forward. Matic looks past his best. Sanchez has been a shadow of the player. Dalot's a young player. Fred, Mourinho for some reason doesn't want to play him in big games. Yesterday he complains about Fellaini and saying, oh, I didn't want to play him from the start. We had Fred on the bench. He didn't bring him on. So if you're not going to play him and you want to bring Fellaini, and you say you want to bring Fellaini on, to have an impact, play Fred. He cost you 50 million quid. And then Lee Grant, who's the goalkeeper, who's not really expected to do much at this point. So the signings they've brought in, the however many years he's been there, it's been way short.
I just don't think he panicked and just thought, I'm going to really disrupt the midfield and just have Fellaini and the big boys in the middle. And it's just like,
so basic, isn't it?
It's such a basic, it's something I would do. We go, oh God, just sight
unseen.
Chat manager. If somebody just gave me a load of players that had different physicalities, I go, all right, Man City, you're going to pass. Let's just kick everyone, put Fellaini in the middle. Let's disrupt, let's mess up their rhythm a little bit. But you don't need to, because they were so hard working, the Manchester City squad. They work so hard.
And you can allow someone like Mourinho to, and I think he's been a brilliant manager over the years, and everyone does. You can allow him to pull the wool over your eyes if you want to, but there's no way on earth that a Fellaini, Matic and Herrera midfield can deal with the way Manchester City play. Yeah. It's so basic it's to be unbelievable. And I think, and I know United have come off the back of a good winner in Turin, and that was a little bit fortunate in my mind, and I'm sure you guys will agree. Sometimes, when he brings Fellaini on,
he just sticks him up there and gets nod downs off him. You think this is a £300 million football team, and they're getting nod downs on second ball. If Big Sam was doing that, he'd be laughed out of town.
Yeah, but it's worth saying as well that Pogba's a huge miss in a game like that. You know, that's gone very much against United.
Yeah, I mean, fair, but I mean, you talk about Mourinho pulling the wool over people's eyes. He's not pulled the wool over Graham Souness's eyes, has he?
No, he hasn't.
Oh, Graham Souness and Gary Neville. All attention.
Gary Neville, the first
like
ever,
weeks.
The first ever dick tuck alive on television. he absolutely shit himself. By the way, I'm not blaming him.
It's like the Luke and Pete show.
It is. Marcus Speller's interviewed Graham Souness and he didn't get scared, did you, Marcus?
That's
half true.
That's yeah.
Answer the question, Marcus. Answer the question.
It's a yes or no.
I didn't get scared, but I was behind reinforced steel.
Yeah.
The damning statistics from the BBC about Manchester United this season. It's the first time since 1990-1991, that season, that Manchester United have lost as many as four of their opening 12 games in a top flight season. And it's the first time since 1977-78 that United have had a negative goal difference after 12 games of a top flight season. Jeez. They are damning statistics.
Mm. And someone said earlier, I forget which one of you guys it was, that they do sort of play with fire a little bit. And you know, the comeback win against Newcastle. They had obviously a sort of quite fortunate comeback against Juventus. Which they deserve credit for, but nonetheless, it was they rode their luck at times, to say the least. Bournemouth as well. Bournemouth started really well. United got out of jail there. United got out of jail away at City last season. The 2-0 down at half time, came back to win 3-2. And I sometimes think if you keep doing that, sooner or later, you're not going to do it. It's not going to happen for you. You can't carry on playing football in that sort of way where you think, okay, yeah, we're going to start badly and we're going to get fall behind or be on the rack, but we'll come back. Because it's not always possible to do that. Yeah. That said, they've got three sort of winnable games coming up, so I expect them to do okay. They've got Crystal Palace at home and they've got Young Boys at home and they go away to Southampton, obviously, after the international.
Right, it's a friendly game.
Never discount Young Boys.
Yeah, Young Boys is another friendly they've got in the Champions League. It's Man City that has friendlies, isn't it?
That's true. All right, well, let's go down to near the bottom of the table. There was a huge win for Cardiff City in Neil Warnock's 100th game in charge for the club. He didn't consider it a must-win game beforehand.
He doesn't consider this a must-compete season, though, does he?
I think so, yeah, but did you see his little face
when
they got the winning goal? You've got to be pleased for Warnock, haven't you?
No. Yeah. Never.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what? I mean, they've got two wins now, and obviously, you know, the red card helps a lot, but that's more than Huddersfield, Southampton and Fulham. And, like, the thing with Cardiff is because Warnock has been saying all this stuff, and obviously there is there's a truth to the realistic expectations for them. But they're basically under no pressure this season.
They are still sleepwalking to relegation, in my opinion.
But there are three other teams that might be doing it in a far worse way.
No, Cardiff
might change manager, who might, you know, panic. They've spent a lot of money. Cardiff haven't.
Pete, you got to remember, only three teams go down. So you telling me you couldn't see Southampton, Huddersfield and Fulham going down this season?
Just being worse.
Of course you could. It could happen.
Fulham's got more up top, though. Fulham's got more...
Not recently, though.
No,
they've lost a load of games in a row now. Mm. Well, by the way, what is Martin Atkinson doing when Sol Bamba scores to the point where he has to ask him if he took his shirt off or not? When he had his shirt off for about 20 seconds.
I was going
to
say, and it was
sorry,
quite
Sol,
clear.
Did that go in?
but the referee, I don't really know the protocol.
He painted his body underneath.
Yeah, no, he hadn't.
His top.
I don't know the official protocol, but I'm sure I've seen referees run over to the celebration, usher the players back on the pitch, say, come on, let's get on with the game. Yep. But I haven't seen from the footage what Martin Atkinson was actually doing.
Yeah.
To not know.
Mm. I mean, if he asked absolutely anyone in that stadium, they could have told him.
Well, this is what
you went over and went to the Predator. Did you go invisible just then? Yes or no? It's a yes or no question.
I know you went invisible. Did you kill that man or not? Because it seems a bit of a coincidence.
He doesn't have any skin now, and I swear he did before. This is another call for VAR, surely.
Detectors.
We'll come on to Charlie in a minute.
That's
brilliant.
There should be detectors in the bottom of the shirt. And if the bottom of the shirt rides above the nipple,
the alarm goes off.
Detectors on the nipple, detectors on the bottom of the shirt. The nipple to bottom of the shirt ratio has to be to a certain level. And if it goes higher, it goes off.
You okay?
I want investment. I need investment.
For 20% of the business.
20% of the business.
Ideas at UEFA.com.
Yeah.
I think you probably
not the weirdest thing they've suggested.
And serial entrepreneur, author of the famous infant chip bowl helmet, Pete Donaldson's in the den, and he's looking for £1 million for his nipple alarm business, and in return, he'll give the Dragons 20% of the business.
Yeah.
Peter, the floor is yours.
Look, guys, we all have nipples. We all have tops on, most of us, most of the time.
Certainly in the winter.
Certainly in the winter months.
This is a special guest episode with Iggy
Pop in the chair. And it's important to know in these turbulent times whether you've got a top on or not.
Yeah.
And this product will show for anyone who wants to know, free data, free access to that data, whether you've got a shirt on or not.
I'm out.
And Marty Atkinson can get involved.
I'm out. Here's
why
I'm out.
Why? I'll knock you out, mate.
What, a million quid for 20%? How many sales have you done?
I think this is getting away from the fact that Sol Bamba nearly scored an overhead kick.
Yes.
Should Sol Bamba, here's a little question for you, slightly related to the Raheem Sterling one from last week. When Martin Atkinson asked the question, should Sol Bamba have owned up and said, yes, I did take my shirt off?
Maybe he forgot. It's kind of the madness.
We've had a couple of these conversations this week, haven't we? Kicking the floor and stuff.
A few people made the point though that if Raheem Sterling, when he obviously in the Champions League, and the referee should have said no, I actually he didn't touch me. Well, should a defender then say actually no, I did kick him 6 feet up in the air?
True.
Same thing, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Martin Atkinson should be doing better there.
Yeah.
The thing is, there's nothing, because the very nature of the fact that a goal, I can't stress this enough. A goal's been scored, so the game's dead at that point. Okay, there's nothing happening.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
Yeah.
Is he doing his shoelace up?
I've no idea.
Is he dreaming?
Phoning up a take? What's he doing?
I've no idea. Is he looking at? Because Sol Bamba took his shirt off, and it wasn't like there was a massive crowd around him when he first took it off. He must have just looked at the halfway. Like, I don't know what he's doing.
He's a small bloke though, so maybe he could.
90th minute though, he's going, oh, what minute does
this? Well, maybe he's thinking he's like, you know,
he's adding up the extra time, isn't he?
How long's a game? Is it 90 minutes?
He's worried that he's left his, you know, front door open, or like, you know, he's just had a little lapse, hasn't he?
He's thinking about the nipple shirt detector.
Was he in his car, a la Maltese Joe?
Could have been.
Could well have been. Just a quick one on this. Dale Stevens was given a straight red card. Correct decision?
Yeah. Yes. It was instinctual from the referee, I think. But he overran the ball. He went in, didn't he?
Yeah. I thought it was a red card. All right, then. Let's move on to Newcastle United. Another win for them. So soon after the last one, Peter.
Yeah.
My goodness. Came after Newcastle's worst start in the top flight for 120 years. They're now up to 14th.
I'll tell you what, if you want Alan Shearer type goals.
Oh, yeah.
Rondon's second was an absolute beauty.
No, that was not an Alan Shearer goal.
Yes, it was.
Hang on.
My favourite Newcastle striker is Les Ferdinand.
Is Alexander
something
Mitrovic.
Deep inside me gave me a little twinge. That was a Les Ferdinand header.
Okay.
That was not an Alan Shearer header.
All right, you've redeemed yourself.
if it's Ferdinand or Shearer, I mean, it's the same, same business, isn't it?
Can you use his full name, please?
Sir Les Ferdinand.
Thank you.
Sir Leslie O'Ferdinand.
It was an absolutely brilliant header. Before I knew it, I was reminiscing about being back in the park as a kid.
Yeah.
It's an amazing header.
Like, you don't see him for some reason.
Yeah, but it's not amazing defending because the forwards got in front of the defender so well. You can't blame a defender for that because that cheapens the move.
That's what Rondon's there for. I mean, he scored a hat-trick of headers, obviously, for West Brom, didn't he? Which is one of the few times it's happened in the Premier League. We want to see more of that.
Yeah, he leapt like a hammerhead salmon.
He did. If a hammerhead shark, or salmon in this case, if the head had a little exploding nipple alarm on the end of it and exploded at that point of contact,
right on the valve.
And then Martin Atkinson came up and went, was that a goal? Did that go in?
Was that a nipple?
What's the score then?
Have I got a top on? If only there was some way I could know.
Like, Ronan got a lot of criticism and he just didn't look fit for the longest time, but he was involved in everything, as much as they sort of pointed out after the match. But like, my mate Brian sort of pointed out that should a top flight side have to choose between Salomon Rondon and Dwight Gayle in 2018, really?
In the
should they have to leverage Dwight Gayle? Should they have to lose Dwight Gayle for the sake
of it? It's a good point. I mean, the good news is that the bottom half of the Premier League is so unbelievably shit that Newcastle are now 14th.
So. Just by virtue of the fact that they can defend, you know what I mean?
Mid-table. I mean, they had... I know, Marcus, you said that the start of the season Newcastle had this season was the worst they've had.
Two wins up to 14th.
Yeah, but the thing is, they were poor last season. They were in the bottom three for a while at the start of last season. Yeah. They eventually were fine. They had a really tough start, Newcastle. I know there's problems there. I'm not trying to cheapen it, but they don't get hammered. Their goal difference is much better than the teams below them.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's slightly better than Crystal Palace's, but in terms of the rest of the teams, then it's much better. Mm. So it's almost like an extra point. Mm. And I don't think they'll be relegated because I think the coach is too good.
I think the disappointment with Newcastle fans, I think, were players who really ended the season strongly, like Kennedy. just had three or four absolutely abhorrent matches, stinkers, turned draws into losses, turned wins into draws. It wasn't a great start for players like that. But even like players like, I really back Christian Atsu. When he comes on, he looks like a shadow of the player he used to be. Right. So there are situations where like players have gone massively off the boil, but you know, it's a long season.
But to put in perspective their start, I mean, their next games, Burnley, West Ham, Everton, Wolves, Huddersfield, Fulham.
Yeah, they need to... If they're not cementing a mid-table finish with that run, or certainly by say, February, they should be mid-table with a run like that.
I just think with Rondon, and look, I know he's a limited striker, as you say, and you don't want to start thinking, oh, well, he can head the ball in like that every week, but he does, he can get on the end of a cross with the likes of Matt Ritchie in there and one or two others.
And also, he's a big, busy sod, isn't he? So there's a lot of... He can hold the ball up. Would you like to see Newcastle just sort of base the team around him for a bit, Pete? Because one of the things it looks like Newcastle have lacked is a plan.
I think you can't really rely on his fitness. I think Rafa Benitez, I think, goes above and beyond when it comes to explaining the fact that he's not fit. And I don't think it's necessarily his legs or his body. I think it's just the fact that he looks a bit heavy.
You need legs at this level. You need legs, as
Parlin said.
Yeah, it's true. He's a big, busy sod, though. It shows what a good start to the season Bournemouth have had, as they've lost back-to-back matches, but are still sixth.
Yeah, they've won one in four, and they're still sixth in the Premier League.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Mid-table, it's up for grabs.
Howe looked close to tears, didn't he, at the end?
He's always got a bit of that about him, though.
Yeah,
hasn't he?
I mean, if you've been playing that well and you lose to Newcastle, would you?
But I think Eddie does seem like he's got quite a sort of soft manner about him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
You can see how he would flip into tears straight away without you realising.
Eddie could be like a good kind of, you know those models they put in karaoke videos who sort of walk through Paris, Dawn, sort of.
He'd be
like,
great at that, I think.
Thinking about his lost love.
I wouldn't have him in Dragon's Den. He couldn't be a dragon.
No.
He's too soft. He'd be investing all his money in everything all the time.
It's strange because his name doesn't match his face. He looks like he's a boxing promoter that also runs a haulage company.
True.
Or he sounds like
he
that.
Sounds like his
name, but he doesn't look like that
he's
at all.
He's basing that on Don Howe.
Don Howe and Eddie Stobart.
And Eddie Hearn. and indeed Eddie Hearn.
Yeah. Yes.
It works.
That does work. That is true. All right then. Well, we are going to talk about Charlie Austin after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
What is that?
Bit of Gattuso, isn't it?
Sometimes the baby good, sometimes the baby shit.
Very good, that. Enjoyable.
I wonder my players play with balls.
Yeah, play with balls.
Yeah.
I love that.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for emails with Peter the Don.
It is. Hello, guys. Says Sam, a while back you had a feature about dads behaving strangely at matches, and I would like to add one that happened yesterday. Upon travelling to Reading for the Ipswich match, my dad realised the date on his watch was one day ahead. His watch would not allow him to roll it back, so this meant the lengthy task of rolling it around the 31 times it was needed. He seemed agitated by this, but agreed he would do it when he got home. As the game kicked off, I looked to my right to see there he is, spinning it round while keeping half an eye on the game. The whole process took him 17 minutes. He missed 3 goals. Oh, I love dads. Agitated dad. He's got one. Oh, something's like really sort of at the back of his head. Go on, let you sort this out. Silas in Canada. Hello, Silas. Hey, lads. Chris Smalling's Instagram was hacked, apparently.
I saw that.
One of the many comments of can't even defend us on social media. I found very amusing. Usheen says, fun fact related to Alan Pardew's contract, David Moyes still has 8 months left on his Man United contract.
Yeah, wow. That's the gift that keeps on giving. Chris Smalling had his Instagram hacked by, I think, a Romanian football fan.
Ah.
And who, I might be getting this wrong, but I think was posting quite a lot of references to Gigi Becali, maybe.
Oh dear.
Okay, well, there you go.
I'll sell you.
The reason I saw
what the password was.
A lot of people got in touch with us saying he can't even defend his own Instagram account. Yeah. There we go.
Said that.
Oh, yeah, no. But I was just, in my defence, I was looking for I want to be a Socceroo update thing. So I wasn't listening.
Do you want to wind your botch back?
Yeah, sorry, mate.
Evan Allen says, hello, Ramble. I have some first-hand experience of Didier Drogba's final game because it was played in my hometown of Louisville, Kentucky. Phoenix were held scoreless in the cup final with Drogba well and truly pocketed by our centre-back, Paco Craig, who is the son of none other than Mikey Craig, the bass player from Culture Club.
Very good.
Karma Chameleon apparently plays every game.
Very good.
Back-to-back champions, Louisville City FC. So well done, Evan. Thank you for that.
Louisville, obviously, you're the home of the great Muhammad Ali. The Louisville Lip.
Absolutely, yeah.
We've got two quick ones from Upcar Baradia. Hello, Upcar. The recent Bradley Stokes, Collins, John discussion thread reminded me of more coincidental name nonsense at my beloved Crystal Palace in 2008. Through a combination of promoter youngsters and shrewd loan signings, Ramble favourite Neil Warnock had amassed a squad containing players called Hill, Hills, Hall and Halls. Which made the club's decision to sell FitzHall to Wigan a season earlier a little bit more lamentable.
And I think
wonderfully alliterative.
Someone that came up on the radio the other day, England's cricket team have got a Stokes, Wokes and Folks at the
nice.
Moment.
Nice.
Which is good.
I was just gonna say John Rudd and John Rudy.
Yes.
Yeah. It was quite enjoyable.
There's Declan Rudd and John Ruddy, isn't it?
Oh yeah, that would have been too much, wouldn't it? Yeah. John.
Yeah.
If you want to get just a show, short the football ramble. .com is the way to do that.
And you remember John O'Reilly, who runs a football club out in Perth in Western Australia, was looking for a striker. Well, we've put him in touch with a couple of players. The most most sort of promising prospect looks to be Stephen McCann, who's got in touch because he played, he's capped at under 17 level for Republic of Ireland, was on the books training with Newcastle, Leeds and Charlton.
Nice.
He was offered an MLS deal but turned it down for different personal reasons. But now he feels like he's back up to speed and he might be able to sort of do a job. He thinks he can get to League of Ireland level again now, so maybe he can go out there and do a job for Armadale out in Perth. So that's the most promising prospect at the moment. They've been in touch together. I've seen the emails copied in, so we'll see. We'll keep you posted as to what happens on that front.
Him and Solomon Rondon are the front runners.
Yeah, well, Solomon would probably get a pay rise, wouldn't he?
do we get a slice of this, by the way? We're literally agents.
I've inquired about that, but there really is no money. Do you want 15% of a 6-month contract at a sports shop? Because that's what you're going to get.
You'll take anything.
Yeah.
Do I get a big mug? Sports Direct style.
Yeah.
Well, that's enough of that, Peter. Let's talk about Southampton against Watford. Charlie Austin gave a post.
It's a joke. We play in the Premier League, the best league in the world, the most watched league in the world. Give them all the help they need because clearly it costs us 2 points a day. It's a joke.
It's a joke.
The joke. I love it. I already like Charlie Austin, but this is next level. Like, because his fury in the post-match interview exactly matches fury on the pitch afterwards, to the point where I feel like he's probably still just kicking things in his house now.
His missus posted on Twitter a picture of him re-watching the decisions at dinner. Like in a restaurant going, just leave it. Just leave it, Charlie.
Charlie, shut up.
his eye was slightly bloodshot, presumably.
Just from rage.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great weekend for officials generally, as we've mentioned with Martin Atkinson. but I have to be careful what I say because people know I don't like Southampton. But I do like Charlie Austin. I've liked him for years, and I really wish Portsmouth signed him when they had the chance to, but they didn't. And he's, you know, he's a good player when he can stay fit. But how do you guys feel about the idea that Watford had a nailed on penalty turn down?
Well, exactly. Oh, completely. They absolutely did.
Because the refereeing was poor. It was inept. And we've been saying on this show for a long time.
Huddersfield should have had a penalty in the Newcastle match.
But there were a lot of poor decisions all weekend.
Fulham should have won 1-0.
And people realised that. But I feel quite uncomfortable when players get so animated about a decision in isolation.
Yeah.
I understand why, because clearly he wants to win the game. And if I was a Southampton fan, I'd be delighted about how angry he is, because he clearly cares a lot and he wants to win. And that's great. Mm. But there were some other poor decisions in that game as well. The one on Nathaniel Chalobah, which was, I mean, it was a nailed on penalty, which would have changed the context of the game as well.
To be fair to Austin, though, he might not necessarily know that from the pitch.
True,
he's
yeah.
Not have
at that point,
that.
Yeah,
I think
true,
that's what Luke's saying is when you hone in on a decision in isolation, you can then start.
It can
saying,
come back
oh,
to bite, yeah.
That and the other. But of course, you know, passions run high, etc., and so on. But I think if I was the manager. The trouble is the manager's Mark Hughes, but if I was the manager, I might say, all right, Charlie, you're off post-match interviews now.
Yeah. But the problem is, like, Mark Hughes is known for being a bit of a whinge bag, isn't he?
So, oh, he moans about everything all the
so
time.
So I would rather hear Charlie Austin just give it both barrels, because at least he was involved.
At least
maybe trying to rescue the situation.
Mark probably sent him to do it.
Yeah,
I do it all the time.
At least it's entertaining.
Is there an argument, though, that this might actually be a bit of a turning point for Southampton? Because obviously when a team aren't performing... Exactly. When a team aren't performing,
they can rally around them.
Well, they're quite often accused by their fans of not caring and not trying. And clearly, you know, no one's left under any illusion there. Like they care. Austin in particular really, really wants to turn this around. They've got Fulham next, so they can take that energy and take that anger into it. And maybe it'll kick things off.
Okay. Well, just ahead of that game, may I just try and bring them back down, because Mark Hughes has a lower win percentage than Maurizio Pellegrino as Southampton manager.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
Stick with the Austin stuff. Don't have you doing the team talk.
No.
Mark Hughes speller.
I always, when you hear a player talk about VAR, I remember when we did a ramble meets with Jamie Carragher, and he said, look, you need to understand how unbelievably frustrating it is to work as a professional athlete, and everything's geared towards the weekend of winning the game, and you work really hard. Mm-hmm. And then referees who make too many mistakes, who aren't given enough help, whichever way you want to look at it, cost you particular points or goals or whatever, and it's not acceptable because of the, you know, and he would say because of the amount of money involved and all that kind of stuff. I do understand that point of view, and I understand from a player's side they just want to win, and they just want to, and when you feel like you've been robbed of something, it can be very, very annoying. But
are you saying that you fancy a bit of VAR in the Premier?
No, I'm not. I'm saying I'm happy to give referees help. I think they should have help, but I don't think VAR will solve it, because I think that, well, in that case it would, in that particular case.
So what help should they be given?
Well, there's lots of different options, aren't there? You could have a referee in each half, for example.
You could have the thing Pete was talking about earlier.
What's that? Nipples?
About nipples. The nipple alarms,
yeah. But yeah, you could have that, yeah.
A couple of examples there for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I think one of them is more likely than the other.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about the nipple alarms, as you know.
I remember Carragher saying in an interview that people say, oh, there'll be nothing to talk about in the pub. Talk about something else. I couldn't agree with him.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Absolutely. All right, gentlemen, let's go down to the Championship, shall we? There was an incredible game at Norwich City where they beat Millwall 4-3. Mm. Most of the goals came in the last 11 minutes and obviously plus injury time. Norwich 3-2 down going into injury time. And it looked like Millwall had done a proper job on them, scoring in 81st and 83rd. And then Norwich scored to make it 3-3 in injury time. And did you see that Millwall had a corner at 3-3? Game's still there to be won.
Yeah.
And they were like, actually, maybe we should be a little bit more conservative. And it came back to bite them on the bot, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, Norwich also had a penalty saved and an amazing volley disallowed. So that was a lot going on in that game.
Well, the guy who had the penalty saved scored the winner in the 97th minute.
That's right, but they top Norwich after Leeds were thumped by a brilliant West Brom performance.
It's an incredible division, the Championship, even for by its own high standards. It's unbelievable. My friend Charlie's a Millwall fan, and I saw him post on Facebook, my team is a joke. He was gutted. He's absolutely gutted.
A theme among Charlie's at the moment.
It's a joke. Absolutely.
Villa won 3-0 away to Derby, which a little bit of a surprise, I suppose, if you think how well Derby have been doing. They haven't lost for a little while. But great win for Dean Smith, but nice to see Terry and Lampard in opposite dugouts.
I'm really pleased for Dean Smith because, of course, he's a big Villa fan and all the rest of it. And it's a fantastic result for them to go to Pride Park and win, because Derby hadn't lost Derby for a good while before that.
They've got realistic promotional ambitions, if you will.
But the mad thing is that Aston Villa started, this is how close the Championship is, Aston Villa started so poorly that they fired their manager, right, by their own standards, okay? And then now I think 4 points off the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and 9 points off the top.
And to throw in as well, what about McLaren and QPR?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know we've mentioned this subsequently, but again, it's worth to reiterate the point. They were so bad when they started, we thought surely he's not going to last. What was he, manager of the month he was given?
They've won four out of the last five.
I think he was given manager of the month. And what are they, 2 points off?
They're 2 points off the playoffs, they're 7 points off the top. They beat Brentford in the West, one of the West London derbies, 3-2.
Always saying Neil
Dean Smith's old team.
Always saying Neil Warnock. He's got a bit of the spirit of the championship in there. And you joking around about Europe, could happen.
Well, the problem with McLaren is he's got this like a reputation as being quite a tragicomic figure. So every time he loses, I mean, to be fair, they were beaten 7-1 by West Brom at one point.
Yeah. Well, they've just done a number on Leeds, you know.
It's true, yeah. Well, that's
but
true.
7-1's bad in any.
I think so, yeah. It's hard to take a positive out of that. Well, we've got the one. We've got the goal. Yeah, nipple alarms aren't going to help you in that situation, Pete, is what I'm saying.
They could be repurposed.
But will they harm you? Probably not. Do them anyway. So he's got this tragicomic element to his life, I suppose. Which is a harsh thing to say, but you understand what I mean.
I think it's unfair.
It is unfair, but that's what this show's all about. Yeah. Not here to be fair. Yeah, life's not fair.
Exactly.
Ask Charlie Austin, he'll tell you.
All right, Len. Well, after the break, we're going to talk about the FA Cup first round, and we're going to crack open the WhatsApp group. See you in a brief moment.
Graham, did you ever suffer from self-doubt?
No.
Love that.
Of course
Love
he did it. What a question.
Only when he was interviewed by me.
Yeah.
Did a little bit of self-doubt
he
creep
thought,
in.
I've met an equal.
I thought, I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah. I remember seeing something with Graham, or hearing something with Graham once where he talked about his FA Cup, his European Cup wins. And one of them came against Real Madrid, I believe, and he said, and he went on quite a long...
European
Cup? Yeah, that's what I said.
I thought you said your FA Cup.
European Cup.
Sorry, yeah.
Sorry, my fault. And he went on quite a long diatribe about how dirty Spanish teams were back then. And he was saying, of course, it's not like it is now. They were real dirty players back then.
Well, that is true, but obviously...
Yeah, but, hang on a minute.
It takes one to know one.
It probably is true, but I mean, come on, Graham.
But I love the fact that Graham said this, had a really serious heart operation, in his last 2 years. And, he's come back possibly even more powerful than he was before.
Yeah.
It's so
in his head,
happened.
It's been an upgrade.
Yeah. Going, a stent, you say, Alf.
he went for Gary, didn't he? I wonder why Gary is stopping short.
Fear.
What
he sniffed
did. He did.
Fear,
that's last why he went. I want Gary looked like he'd been caught in some sort of bear trap.
Oh.
I thought it would be the first time we ever saw a man gnaw his own leg off to get away from a punditry studio. But they did Richard Keys there to relax the studio guests.
No, they
did. They did every week.
Nobody
Marcus,
that.
Richard Keys and Andy Gray were very good at relaxing a studio
guest.
Let's agree on that.
With any means possible.
Yeah.
Even if it made other studio guests or people in the members of staff feel very uncomfortable.
Well, when Graham asks Gary... is Mourinho getting the best out of those players? I'm not going to go back onto the Man United thing, but it's an obvious question. The answer is no. Why is Gary not saying no?
Yeah, it's interesting.
What did he say? What was
he said, I don't know.
I truly don't know.
He was intimating that he wasn't sure if those players were anywhere near as good as they should be and whether any manager couldn't get the best out of them.
I think Gary Neville just wanted the situation to end as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Therefore, he's engaging sort of, in the conversation.
He's very sort of anti-Woodward, though, isn't he? He's very anti kind of Man United establishment behind the scenes.
He doesn't say he is.
He said that a few times, hasn't he? He's definitely not.
I've never seen him have a massive pop at the... I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've just not seen it. But.
Yeah, I think he does all his pops through Fizzer.
Yeah.
Fizzer's unbeknownst.
What's Fizzer for pop?
Yeah.
Fizzer, could you say this for me? Yeah, sure. Oh, what?
I realise.
Why do you keep whispering it? Say it loud.
Yeah.
I realise that the character that I'm playing in Red Dead Redemption 2 is very much reminiscent of Graham Souness physically.
Is he?
He's got a big old bushy tash.
Hey, this is the kind of chat for the WhatsApp group.
We need a picture of that.
Firstly, we need to say...
Souness has had a tash for 30 years.
It's been a long time. Firstly, we need to say the preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out on Thursday, of course. How did our best better do, Luke Moore?
What, old John Simonelli?
Old Johnny, baby.
His Manchester Derby best bet did not come in. Get an agenda.
Remind me what it was.
It was Man City to be winning at halftime
and
it being a draw at full time.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. So show at thefootballramble.com with best bet in the subject line. A lot of you are doing that already. And I'll pick another one for Thursday's show.
Lovely.
Love that. All right, the FA Cup is underway, believe it or not.
Non-league dogs on Twitter, really coming into their element. Mm.
Perfect time of year for them.
Beautiful.
This is their 4th of July weekend. This. it's been underway for a long time. This is the first round proper, though.
It's the first round proper. Sorry. Sorry.
Don't be disrespectful to those non-league teams who've played about 64 games already.
Yeah. Forgiveness, please.
This is the time that Sunderland and the Metropolitan Police team can get together.
Yeah.
Yes. You know? It's the first time since 2015 that Sunderland have won an FA Cup match. Beating Port Vale. I mean, Port Vale versus Sunderland, the first round. I mean, that is a glamour tie.
It is.
Do you think the first round of the FA Cup?
Do you think in 2015, if you offered them a chance to
be in the second round,
get relegated twice but win an FA Cup match, what do you think they'd do?
I would take that.
I would talk in code, Jim. I would say to them in 2015, we can guarantee you second round in the FA Cuff in 2018. They'd be like, hang on, is that...
Is that fourth or second? Yeah.
Guiseley.
They went 4-0 up. I almost didn't win.
Guiseley against Cambridge. To open it up. I mean, the non-league side knocked out the League 2 side, but yes, they nearly ballsed it up, didn't they?
I love, and the good thing, that goal, was it Will Hatfield he scored?
Yes, it was, yeah.
He looks, I don't know him. I've never seen him play before. He looks a bit older. Mm-hmm. I love an ageing non-league player.
We all do.
There's a guy who plays for Gosport Borough, my local team, called Justin Bennett. And I think he might have scored almost 300 goals for Gosport Borough.
Wow.
Do you know what,
he's made that perfect spot for himself where he's not quite good enough to go to a bigger team, but he's also, he doesn't really want to go anywhere else, so he just stays there
but
bangs the goals
in. But maybe a few years ago, it wasn't lucrative to go to a slightly bigger side, you know?
Yeah, true. Gosport Borough did have a bit of money then. They haven't now. But you wonder whether those 300, would he trade those 300 non-league goals for 30 League One goals?
I don't know.
Would you?
Well, I always want to get the best out of myself, which is why I'm speaking like this.
You're speaking like that because you were celebrating Pompey's win so loudly over the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Blew a gasket.
But yes, Portsmouth, they march on. They beat Maidenhead 4-0 away. I mean, they're the big boys.
That's a big result, that.
Yeah. Big boys, Pompey.
You see the conditions?
It sent a message to the rest of the competition.
It sent a message to Timmy Mallett.
Pompey. Yeah, Pompey.
Where do you want this plaster?
Pompey.
<You prick.
laughs> Pompey have won the FA Cup in living memory.
Yeah, they have. In living memory. 10 years ago.
Yeah. It seems
formality.
Timmy Mallett was there with his tinfoil FA Cup. If you don't know who Timmy Mallett is, one to Google, because I can't be bothered.
I met him once, and he... He's up there with the strangest people I've ever met.
It's a meeting isn't it? Yeah. Imagine he tells exactly the same story.
Well, Peter, he apparently supports Maidenhead and Oxford United.
Yeah.
So old Mallett.
I'm fairly certain he's popped up at an Oxford United game on the telly not that long ago. So I was surprised to see him at Maidenhead with his own little foil FA Cup.
He rescued a woman in the Hartlepool Marina once. He was in a hotel and she fell into the water and he saved her.
An unlikely superhero.
Yeah, very unlikely.
And he hit her over the head with a foam mallet.
Yeah. Well, get back in there.
That's the reason why she was in.
Yeah. there's a video doing the rounds of a Portsmouth fan singing Play Up Pompey in like a baritone operatic style. Have you seen this?
It's not as good as people think it is.
No.
Really?
Hang on.
I thought it was all right.
Yeah, the guy with the bells there, though, isn't he?
In the background.
All he's missing is Luke Moore. But the reason why it is particularly impressive is because that's why I've got the voice like this. I had a go at that.
Yeah. I was in there. You could probably
get
quite
now. What is it? Play up Pompey.
Yeah. It's not about it. I think you had an all right go there.
Man. I mean, you've just done that after slagging off his effort.
You just wobble a bit.
Do it.
Have a go.
Play up Pompey.
And the rest?
Yeah, go on.
I don't know what the rest is.
Pompey play up.
It's only six words.
What is it?
Two of them repeat.
Pompey. Pompey. I was like, now.
Pompey play up.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like a palindrome.
Yeah.
I think that was good. I've got to say.
I thought it was good. I thought that wasn't bad. Jim, do you want to have a go?
Not really. I think you should keep that voice, and Pete, you should always speak like that.
Yeah, I'm the 300 league goals. That guy singing properly is the 30 league one goals. Yeah.
There we are, you see. But there's still a few more non-league sides in the cup because they drew.
Did you see...
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, the worst tackle of the weekend.
Well, they didn't tackle, really.
Was it a red card?
Yeah. I think even Martin Atkinson might have taken some advice from his assistant and then set a red card.
When joints go the wrong way, it's horrible.
I tell you what, though, the opposition player, who was it again? Chorley versus...
Doncaster Rovers.
The Doncaster player, I forget his name. Got straight back up, which was a relief.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that man might not have been able to use that leg again.
His legs were...
Oh, man.
The referee didn't give a penalty for that, even though it was about a foot inside the area. So, I mean...
I think the horror was just too horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but a straight red. Without a doubt.
No question of it. Yeah. I mean, and also cost his team the game because they were winning at that point.
He certainly did. He certainly did. All right then, gentlemen, let's crack open the WhatsApp group.
Let's crack open the WhatsApp group. I never know where this is.
Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that?
No, I've not got a jingle. No, we haven't got a jingle.
For God's sake!
Welcome to the WhatsApp group, everybody.
We have got a jingle. It's just hard to find.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's your filing system that makes it hard to find. Yeah.
Jim. I specifically did not read an abusive email that someone sent to you on the show at the Football Ramble.
About Everton.
It was about some stat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
you've been reading the emails, have you?
Oh, yeah. Jim, Everton.
No, I just remembered it because I got a stat wrong about Everton. Because I said they hadn't won on a Sunday since March 15, but it was actually won an away game on Sunday.
I did win yesterday, so fuck them.
So, yeah,
exactly. I'm Team Jim on this one.
Yeah. I thought Everton were going to win that match, to be honest.
Well, you were wrong as well.
I was wrong.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, we're in the WhatsApp group. Let's leave that chat behind
us. Get inside the WhatsApp group, everyone.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Now then.
Chuck a few emojis around. Make some at home.
Talking about lower league football, let's go down to the Blackburn Sunday League First Division, where it all happens. Their manager, Daryl Hartley, was looking for a centre-half to play for their side, and he asked Colin Hendry on Twitter if he'd like to play. Big Colin took up the offer. It's a pub side called Moorgate FC, and Colin Hendry, at the age of 52, marshalled a defence, and this is not a veterans league. You can get young lads, you get teenagers, 20-somethings, and Colin Hendry was at the heart of that defence, and they won 3-2, and he played the full 90 minutes. Hartley said Hendry was first at the ground, and he gave the half-time team talk as well, and he said he didn't let any of the younger, fitter lads and speedier lads run rings around him. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah. There's glorious. There's a picture
of him. 52 years
old. There's
a
picture of him in the dressing room, and he's got like one of those sort of Under Armour undershirts on.
Yeah. It's
pretty decent, Nick.
He's wiry.
He was the first person there, as you say. And when the rest of the team arrived, he told them they were late. And he's told them that he's going to play again. I love that. He was a phenomenal defender, Colin Hendry.
I love the fact he gave the halftime team talk.
I'm surprised he didn't sort of demand to go up top because he started as a striker, didn't he? Back in the day before he joined
Blackburn.
Did he
really?
Yeah, yeah.
He's 52.
He's got 30 odd goals for Blackburn over two periods, I think.
I know, but at the age of 52, we're playing a deep line.
Yeah. Where's Don Hutchinson?
Because if he turns up late, that's out of order. Yeah. The Copa Libertadores final is underway. The first leg was delayed due to heavy rains, which is something that we've come to appreciate with football played in Buenos Aires. Of course, we think of Argentina against Peru.
Exactly.
A different stadium.
Worked a treat for me because I wasn't around on Saturday, but I was able to watch it yesterday.
There was plenty of Boca fans in the stadium singing and dancing in the rain.
Yes, there were.
So, I mean, the atmosphere there was so strange because, as you will all know, there are no away fans allowed for the fixtures. And when River scored their goals, the quiet was so strange. But then when Boca scored their goals, the surge from the fans, it's like a stampede. It's an amazing thing to witness.
River scored their first goal straight after Boca scored, didn't
they? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I love the fact
that it's an incredible game.
Every goal is celebrated like it's a 95th minute winner.
Yeah.
It was quite strange to see a game which you could legitimately claim to be the biggest game in the world. Certainly the biggest game of the season so far in club football.
Most fiercely contested, you could say.
But the standard's not that good.
No, it isn't.
So it's quite a strange sort of juxtaposition.
It is. I mean, you've got some...
You've got some decent players. Some players who featured for Argentina in the World Cup.
Gargo, you know, obviously Tevez. I mean, I think
Armani played in goal. I think he was in this Argentina squad.
Yeah, so there's one or two, but yes... the Argentinian league is not the best quality, and you can think of the players they produce.
Yeah,
it's quite interesting. I know they go to Europe at quite a young age and so on and so forth. But what it perhaps lacks in quality is made up for in the ferocious nature of a game like that. And it's the first time these two sides have played each other in the final of this tournament in its history, which I suppose is not surprising if you consider the amount of sides that play in that tournament. You know, there's some big names in there and so on. But then on another hand, you know. I was slightly surprised, quite oddly, but there we are.
But there's the squad that they've announced that are going to play a couple of friendlies in this international break. It's a squad of a decent size, obviously, as you'd expect. There's not a single Boca or River player in it.
Yeah.
Mm. So that tells you the standard wouldn't necessarily be as you'd expect. When you think of Boca and River as being massive football clubs, which they are.
Well, and you can remember some players playing for them.
Yeah, quite.
The likes of Ariel Ortega or something.
Yeah,
like
but I mean, of course.
Riquelme,
of course. Marcelo Salas.
But, you know, the players going over to Europe is... you know, it's a sort of a cliche thing to say, but obviously it does have a huge effect. I mean, it's a fallacy that, you know, South America can just easily produce these amazing players. You know, at some point there's going to be a drop off if all of your best players go abroad, and we'll get at that point.
Andy Brassel on the continent was saying a similar thing, but in the context of the Dutch league, they're known as producing these amazing players. But what's actually happening, I don't know how well it is relates to their current national team woes. But Andy said, didn't he, Marcus, that the players, rather than moving from Ajax or PSV at like 22, 23, they're moving at 16, 17, 18 now.
Well, this is like in Brazil as
and
well.
So, so they haven't got a chance to develop. And so it's probably similar with that.
Like if you lose a Ruud van Nistelrooy at 18, like you don't just, you know, clip a bit of his hair and grow another one. You know, it's like,
Pete,
it's not
going
to work.
Do you want Dragons to know about that as well?
I cannot confirm nor deny I'm involved in a DNA cloning service.
No. Well,
as we speak.
While we're on the
patent
subject.
Pending.
You talked about Carlos Tevez, Marcus.
Yes.
When Marcus put the running rod around, he actually put one around from 2012. On this date in 2012, and it was really interesting to see some of the stories that were in the running order.
I mean, can I just say, when I first saw that running order attachment this morning after just waking up, first cup of tea down the guy, I was a little bit sort of bleary eyed. Opened it, and I was like, What is that? Have I slept for?
Paul Pogba's been dropped for the match between Juventus and Pesaro. Yeah.
Did you feel like Alan Quantum Leap?
Yeah, I did a bit.
Hey,
yeah,
hey, BT, there we are.
Yeah. What else was involved in the running order from 6 years ago today?
Edgar Davids swearing on goals on Sunday.
Love that.
Could
happen now.
Carlos Tevez has been very critical of Gary Neville's work commitment, saying that any assistant to the national team bosses of the big footballing nations wouldn't be pundits in their spare time.
What a surprise. Carlos Tevez having a whinge.
Daniel De Rossi sent off for punching Stefano Mauri in the face.
That could have happened.
Which is nice to take a look back.
That's lovely.
Adam Johnson's
He's lovely. Peter, you mentioned DNA, people messing around with themselves, if you like.
What's this about? November, Marcus, we can't do that again.
We are staying in the WhatsApp group. You know what this is. For some reason, I felt compelled to open the door on this, listeners. So if this goes terribly wrong, I am to blame. But Peter, you were sending us a number of pictures of Japanese people who have engaged.
This is incorrect. This is massively incorrect. I was sending you pictures of bodybuilders who were injecting themselves with Lysol, which is like an oil, to make their guns look bigger, but to a really extreme degree. So there's these guys who've got these massive guns, but their wrists are like mine. They're really funny.
So who brought in the, how do you say, bageling?
Because it looks like a bagel.
Oh, sorry.
It was me. So basically, in Japan, I don't think they still do it. What they do is they inject saline solution into their foreheads and then poke the middle of it so it looks like you've just got a bagel on your head.
Why?
Well, I'm not an ambassador for it.
Because if someone said to me that, I would think they've got a bagel around their head, like a sweatband.
No, it's on the forehead.
I'm sure you could do that as well.
Yeah. Unsurprisingly.
Project that, wouldn't it?
Unsurprisingly, one of the examples looked like Pete.
Everyone looks like me.
Have you done a bit of bageling, Peter?
I've not done a bit of bageling. It's disgusting.
Lives in Soho. Could have done. I've got a Fort William update if you want one.
I know
everyone's jumped on the Fort William FC bandwagon now. There's been a documentary made and all sorts. I'm not taking credit for that, but just make your own, you know, make your own mind up. They got a 3-3 draw last week, Fort William, with Clackner Cudding.
Well done, lads.
Followed up with a 13-0 defeat to Fraser. Business as usual. They give themselves a platform. And they gives with one hand, takes away with the other.
Well, the other team have had friendlies, haven't they? So.
It's true, yeah. The other team warmed up. They cut the friendlies against Shakhtar Donetsk and Southampton. That's why.
How can you draw 3-1 week and then lose 13-0?
Same division.
I'm ridiculous.
Yeah.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. We've made it, or I've made it, to the end of the show. It's been an absolute ruddy pleasure. We'll be back on Thursday, of course, for the preview show. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
One more match.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me, ladies and gentlemen.
Baggling.
This was a Radio Staccano production.
Baggling.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.